Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world. Now, here's Obi Young, president of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and producer for the studios from Orlando, Florida, who is today's host.
Hello, everyone. This is Obi Young with Managing Safety, a project of the Florida Aviation Network. And tonight we're speaking with Diego Alfonso. Diego, I've known for many years. He's a pilot extraordinaire from all over the United States, but most of the time I've known him, he's been in Central Florida. He's an ATP, airline transport pilot, designated pilot examiner with over 13,000 hours in flight training. And that's basically what we're talking about tonight is flight training, and he was also an FAA inspector who did hundreds of check rides, and he's given thousands of hours of flight instruction, like I said. And we're talking about something new that Diego's working on is flight training missing links. Flight training missing links. Good evening, Diego, and what is flight training missing links all about?
Good evening, Obi. Well, I'll tell you, flight training missing links came about because of the gaps that I've been finding as a DPE or lack of knowledge, you know, every time I do a check ride. But I think the most important part of the whole thing was taking the check rides, which is the first video of the series. In other words, the series is flight training missing links. The first video is the rules of the check ride. And what happens there is that when a pilot applicant gets to the examiner is required by the FAA to brief them, both in the oral portion of the test and the flight portion of the test. I personally believe that although that is good, it is too late. Because the individual really, really is nervous, there's a lot of tension, and most of the things that you say, they go right over the applicant's head. And that's why I kind of dedicated the first video of the series to the rules of the check ride, exactly so the applicant knows what to expect from the examiner and what the examiner will expect from the applicant.
Okay, so we're talking with Diego Alfonso about flight training missing links, and if you haven't gathered, he's working on a series, a video series, about flight training and about check rides. And one of the first things he's going to give as a teaser for you is a free discussion of about some of these missing links when you first go in to see the designated pilot examiner. Now, you mentioned a couple of things about the rules of the road. They used to have the flight test guide, and now they got the practical test standards. Can I get everything out of that?
Yes. Everything for check rides comes out of the practical test standards. But the most important part of the practical test standards is the first 9-10 pages, which is the introduction to it. Unfortunately, most pilots and instructors don't stress that. And there's a lot of good information there. And I've taken a lot of that information from those pages mixed in with my personal experience about conducting rides, which I've done thousands of check rides. I've been an examiner now for about 22 years. And I'm not going to tell you that I've seen it all, but I've seen a lot. So that allows me to really understand what the main problems are trying to pass a check ride.
Well, is this just for the private check ride or the commercial check ride or any check ride?
This applies in general to all the check rides because the oral briefing and the flight briefing is required regardless of the test. If you're a sport pilot, you have to have that briefing. If you're getting typed in a 747, you have to have that kind of briefing because that briefing sets the pace. It really tells the applicant how the test is going to unfold. As I told you before, the reason, and it's a good thing, but the reason I think that of course, when you're at the 747 level, you have taken hundreds of checks, because not only the check rides, but then every 6 months you got to jump through the hoop. But especially the new guys coming in, like the private, the instrument, the commercial, and the instructors, at the beginning of the career, it's where I found the problem to be the biggest, because I've done check rides in simulators, you know, for other kinds of tests, and the pilots are a little bit more prepared in this area. Their preparation of stick and rudder is good, but there is more than stick and rudder to a check ride.
Yeah, we were talking about this before we started recording about, of course, when I was working with the FAA, we did hundreds of CFI check rides, and some of the biggest disappointments are, like you say, those first few minutes when you meet the designated pilot examiner or the aviation safety inspector, and you know that they know the material, and you feel empathetic about it, but they're just not quite getting the point across there. There seems to be a gap there between when they walk in the door and when they go out to the airplane, because they know how to fly the plane, but there's a problem. And that's some of the things that you're going to be going over on your series here with the series on Flight Training's Missing Links. I think you're also going to be putting out a weekly byline, aren't you, with Florida Aviation Network?
Yes, I believe starting next month, that's going to be, I believe it's on Fridays. You probably would know the date more, I mean, better than I do. But, yes, I'm really looking forward to that, and I just can't wait.
Right. So when you listen to this show, make sure that you look at the FloridaAviationNetwork.com or the Facebook page, and you'll see Diego's briefings in there. So when we're going through some of these points here, you know, every Friday you'll get some different points and some different tips to help you with those check rides, or after or before the check ride, or with your students, because this is not just the applicant. This is also the instructor. Is that right?
Correct. And another important point, Obi, is that I am having a website come up, and in that website, anybody that is preparing for a check ride can access the first copy of the series, which is the rules of the check ride, for
uh-huh.
free. They can just go there and look at it, get themselves prepared. That was originally done for the applicants that came to me, but however.
Uh-huh.
I open it up to everybody. I think that everybody should be informed, because here's the thing. As a pilot examiner, when an individual fails because of something that they really didn't know, it doesn't bother me a bit. I'm going to go home and have my 4 ounces of wine at night and sleep like a baby. However, when someone fails because what I call stress-induced disqualification, that is a bad thing. That really bothers me, because I know that the individual is knowledgeable and proficient, but yet the mind won't let it perform. And that's basically the reason why this come up. Try to help the guys that are going for check rides to feel comfortable about it, and to know exactly what, you know, what's going to happen.
Okay, well, could this apply to you said sport pilot, so I assume it's a sport pilot, but I guess...
Everybody.
And multi-engine jets and 747, so it applies to everybody then, right?
It applies to everybody. The basic requirements of the briefing, the FAA requires certain things that have to be told to the pilot prior to the check ride, regardless. It doesn't make differences between private pilot and APPs. Now, in the rules of the check ride, which is the video, there is going to be some personal areas that I discuss, things that I've learned throughout the year that pilots thought that I was doing one thing, or they were thinking about another thing. So I call that my personal check rides experience. If the individual comes to me for the check ride, the video completely, the oral applies. if they're going to take the check ride with another examiner, my personal experience of the check rides does not apply. It's just whatever the FAA requires. So, but I have it very well defined, you know, my personal stuff. That's why I have a disclaimer. You know, every time I say examiner, I mean me.
Okay. We've been talking with Diego Alfonso. He's an airline transport pilot, designated pilot examiner, and we're talking about flight training. And he should know about it. He's got 13,000 hours in the air in flight training. And we've been talking about a new series coming up, Flight Training Missing Links. And Diego also is going to be having a weekly column on the Florida Aviation Network every Friday. And we're going to take a break right now, and we'll be back with you folks in just a minute.
Now let's rejoin Obi Young and Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network.
Welcome back. This is Obi Young with Managing Safety. It's an effort of the Florida Aviation Network. We're glad you're tuned in this week. And today's guest is an airline transport pilot, designated pilot examiner with over 13,000 hours in the air in flight training, 20-some-odd thousand hours. How many hours did you say, Diego, total time?
26,000 plus.
26,000 plus. I can't even count that high. That's many years in the air. And it's Diego Alfonso. I call him my Ricky Ricardo instructor. He's just a delight to work with. And if you've ever seen him on stage or listened to him before, he's a joy to hear. We're talking about the series Flight Training Missing Links and Diego's efforts towards aviation safety. And we were talking about the first thing about your tips there. And you started off a little bit about a disclaimer. You want to speak a little bit more about that?
Yeah. The reason why I put a disclaimer in there is because I want the pilot applicant, when they come to me, to understand the relationship between me and them. But because I decided to have this available to every pilot that is going for a check ride, if they're going to a different examiner, some of my personal briefing may not apply with other examiners, whereas the required FAA briefing does apply. And as we start, I mean, another thing in the disclaimer is that the topics of the briefing, unfortunately, don't follow a logical sequence. So I try to line them up as much as I can, but some of them, they just don't follow each other. And it sounds a little weird, you know, talking about balloons and then talking about potatoes. But I try to do my best on that and have them lined up. And would you like me to go into, like, the first item that I...
Well, I'll tell you what, one of the... When we've been doing the flight instructor emphasis programs at the end of the month, which I've heard Diego speak at many times, one of the things that impressed me was, like, when you come for a check ride, you've got many publications of many books, and they're all good, and you've got magazines and all the things out, but something that stuck in my mind is when you come for that check ride that day, you're using the FAA books, and it's the FAA answers that the designee or the inspector is looking for. And, you know, that's something that you really need to – there's more than one way to skin a cat, but on that day you skin it the FAA way, I guess you might say.
Exactly. We, as an examiner, we expect that you talk about, do what's in the FAA publication, the references that were used to put that particular PTS together, and not – an article that you read in some industry publication, which may be good, but not necessarily for the check ride. So that is a very weak area, which I am addressing that too, because we need to, especially the airplane flying handbook, where you have all the maneuvers and procedures and all that. I call that, by the way, the Prego book. You have some white hair yourself. You remember the Prego commercial?
Yeah,
it's in there.
Yeah, right.
So that's why I call that book the Prego commercial, the Prego book, because it's in there. If it talks about a procedure or maneuver, it's in there.
It's in there. It's in the book.
Yes, sir.
You know, one of the things, we can't cover everything tonight, certainly just skimming the top of it. And when he does have these weekly articles, I'll be sure and read them. And see, Diego, I think you're going to be hosting some of the shows at Sun and Fun at the Florida Air Museum with the network. Well, we appreciate you doing that, too. I hope you're looking forward to that again.
Oh, I really am. You know, I'm a kind of a people's person, and I think this is such a beautiful opportunity to meet new people, especially people related in the industry. I mean, it doesn't get better than that. You know what I mean? There's no, I cannot think of a better place to be than to be around Sun and Fun or any building. I don't care what it is. You know, even if I'm, it's just a tremendous experience. So I'm really looking forward to that. And, of course, going to learn a lot of good things, especially being under your shadow there.
Okay. Another thing you do, I think at Executive Airport, you have a breakfast there. Was that twice a month there that you have? Or on second Saturday is what it is. It's not twice a month.
Yeah.
The second Saturday you have a breakfast there. We have breakfast with Diego. Is that right or something?
Correct. The second Saturday of every month, there's a school there called Flight Professionals, and they approach me and they say, you know, that because they see me doing seminars and stuff like that, and they feel that that would be a good thing, you know, for not only for filling the gaps, but also on the safety side of the thing, which, you know, you've been with the FAA for a long time, that the number one issue in our business is safety. And
right.
So we, those seminars, although they kind of talk about the gaps, the main emphasis is in safety, is how to be a safe pilot. It's not enough to think about safety. You have to become a safe pilot. I mean, it's just, that's just the way it is.
It's kind of like in church, you got to not only talk the talk, you got to walk the walk.
Exactly. Actually, I have a little thing that I do that's in the beginning of every presentation, and I tell them that there is two options when it comes to safety. One is you can be part of safety, and the other one is safety must be a part of you. And therein lies the difference between dedication and commitment. And as pilots, we cannot dedicate ourselves to safety. We have to commit ourselves to safety. And I think that's the message. You know, you really have to be able to say no, turn around, and scratch the flight, regardless, without reservations. And that's just the way it is.
You know, Diego, I told you this time would fly by, and we haven't even got to the point of not the Russian, which is one of your first topics. But I did want to mention to everybody, one of the things that Diego had also said is try to visit the examiner that you're going to take the check ride with. Bring your instructor with you prior to the check ride. And that's sort of what you're doing with Flight Training Missing Links. You're visiting with an examiner. It may not be the one you're taking your check ride with, or it may be. But this is sort of what this is. You're getting to visit with him right there in your own home, or at least a typical examiner. Let's cover the first topic here. You said, do not rush. Now, what do you mean by that?
Well, here's the thing. Normally, every time I did a check ride, pilots, applicants tend to rush. They feel either they've been programmed or they feel that they need to do things properly. And, you know, there is nothing in an airplane that has to be done in a hurry. And I tell them, I said, don't rush. If I ask you a question, take your time to think. Put all your ducks in a row. Actually, count to 10 first. Then after you digest the question, then you can come up with the answer, because the practical test standards do not stipulate anywhere that an answer has, that a question has to be answered in 10 seconds, 20 seconds, 30 seconds. It doesn't say. So take your time. And that is a very important point, because once the pilot, and I've seen this happen time and time, and you probably do, because you've done a lot of check rides yourself.
Yeah.
Once the pilot starts rushing, the mouth starts going at 100 miles an hour, but the mind is going at 25. And that's how you start stumbling up and second-guessing yourself, and that's when the pressure starts to move up near the red line. And once it gets to the red line, the pilot will stop thinking and will stop remembering, will not be able to remember. And therefore, when the notice of disapproval is written, it may read like applicant unable to explain the principles of stall. That's what the notice of disapproval says, because that's what the examiner saw. But the real reason for the individual to fail the ride was the pressure got to red line. He did or she did knew the material, but was unable to recall. You can take that one to the bank.
And so to counteract that, the typical and the easy answer is take a deep breath, count to 10, and don't rush.
Exactly. And not only that, if at any time during the oral the individual feels overwhelmed or rushed, he can take a break. He can tell the examiner, please, I need to take 5 minutes. You know, he doesn't have to tell why or whatever. He says, I just need to take 5 minutes. And you can go outside and, you know, relax and then come back again and continue battle, so to speak. But these things, these things pilots are not aware of. You know, they think that once they get into that office that they are at the mercy of the examiner. And it's not so. They are basically in control of the check ride, because they're coming there to be tested. And the FAA says one of the first things is in the 8900.2 is that the examiner must maintain a relaxed atmosphere. That's the first item. And so I try to do that, and I know most examiners do, but the pilot is already past the red line, and no matter what you do, it's very hard to come back. I've seen it happen time and time again.
And they know the material, but because they're so rushed and under the pressure, they lose it there. We've been talking with Diego Alfonso, who is an airline transport pilot, designated pilot examiner, 13,000 hours plus in flight training, about his new series coming up, Flight Training Missing Links. He also is going to be seeing him on the Florida Aviation Network every Friday with a series about some tips about this. And soon now you'll see him at Sun and Fun on the air over there, and pretty soon on his own site about this upcoming video series. So if you're a pilot, you're an instructor, no matter where you are, this would be some good information for you. Diego, thank you so much for meeting with us this evening and talking a little bit about some aviation safety, and looking forward to seeing you this coming Friday, okay?
Yes, sir. It's been a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much, and be safe.
This is Obi Young with Managing Safety, wishing everyone blue skies and tailwinds. See you next time.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. Please visit our studio website to hear past programs.